This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. First of all, my dearest sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to see all your beautiful faces, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to gather us with him in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la, just as he's gathered us here today, inshallah. I ask Allah that all of us, none of us leaves this gathering except that we got the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So my dearest sisters, in less than a month, the greatest month of the year will be here. The month of forgiveness and mercy. The month when the doors of Jannah are open and not one of them is shut. And the month when the doors of hellfire are closed and not one of them is opened. And in every night of this month, there are more people who are saved from the fire than in any other month. So that's why, my dearest sisters, it's so important that all of us prepare ourselves properly, inshallah, for the coming of this month, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. One of the biggest mistakes most people make when it comes to the month of Ramadan is that we see the only way that they tend to prepare for it is by stocking up their shelves with as much supplies as they can. You know, if you have a look at the shops just before Ramadan, it's jam-packed. Sometimes you go, you can't even find one date left on the shelf. It's almost like we're preparing for a famine. You know, one of the biggest problems so many people have when it comes to Ramadan is they think that the minute Ramadan comes, it'll be so easy for them, you know, just to click into Ramadan mode, and suddenly they'll find themselves so motivated and their iman will be so strong and it'll be so easy for them to do all of these righteous deeds that they want to do. And what they don't realize is that, you know, in order for you to achieve your best in this month, you need to prepare yourself beforehand. You need to prepare yourself mentally, physically, spiritually before the beginning of Ramadan. You know, just like a race, no athlete would ever dare to turn up to a marathon when they haven't trained for it. And you've got to think about Ramadan, it's like a race of the mu'mineen. Ramadan is like a race of the mu'mineen. They're racing for the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why nobody should turn up to this race without having prepared themselves properly for it. Now, before I go on to speak about some of the ways that we need to prepare ourselves before Ramadan comes, I want to first speak about this month of Sha'ban that we've just entered. Because what most people do not realize is that Sha'ban is like the bridge to Ramadan. Sha'ban is like the training camp that you prepare yourself for the coming of Ramadan. That's why you'll see the Salaf, you'll see the righteous predecessors that came before us. When the month of Ramadan, when the month of Sha'ban would come to them, they would say that the month of Sha'ban is the month of the reciters of the Quran. And many of them would even close their businesses just so they can devote themselves to reciting the Quran and revising the Quran and preparing the Quran, getting it ready for Ramadan. And this is also why we see that there was no month that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast more in this month than the month of Sha'ban. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, I never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fast any month besides Ramadan more than he used to fast in the month of Sha'ban. And when Anas radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam why he would fast so much in this month, he would say, because it's a month that people do not pay attention to it. It's a month that comes between Rajab and Ramadan, and people don't pay attention to it because Rajab is a holy month and Ramadan is Ramadan, so they don't pay attention to the month of Sha'ban. And he told Anas, wa huwa shahrun tarfa'u fihi al-a'mal. It's a month in which the A'mal, the righteous deeds, are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a month in which the righteous deeds of a person are raised back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, فَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ عَمَلِي وَأَنَا صَاعِمٍ. And I love that my righteous deeds are raised back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I'm fasting. So subhanAllah, we have to realize that there's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this month of Sha'ban to raise our deeds back to Him. And from those reasons is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to increase our ibadah in this month. He wants us to increase our worship in this month and to focus on increasing our ibadah in this month so that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala we can prepare ourselves for the coming of Ramadan, inshaAllah. So I'm going to inshallah just go through some of the steps of things we need to be, you know, focusing on in preparing for Ramadan, inshallah. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I'll be giving a second lecture actually on the 6th of May. And that will be about what you need to focus on in regards to Ramadan. But today I'm going to be speaking about what we need to be focusing on in preparing ourselves for Ramadan, first of all. So number one, my dearest sisters, we need to begin by spring cleaning our hearts. We need to begin by spring cleaning our hearts. SubhanAllah, we come to Ramadan and we don't realize how heavy and how sick our hearts have become over the year. You know, SubhanAllah, how many sins have built up over our hearts. Think about the fitna that we're exposed to day in and day out. How many things have we looked at? How many things have we listened to? How many words have we said that's not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of that has an impact on our hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Tu'rid al-fitan 'ala al-qulub." That verily, the fitan gathers over the heart. It gathers and it becomes like black dots over the heart. And it accumulates. And if a person doesn't purify their heart, then it will become like a barrier between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, if we want Allah to open the doors of khair to us in Ramadan, we want Allah to give us His guidance in Ramadan, then we need to remove the shackles from our hearts. Okay, we need to remove these shackles that's going to weigh us back, you know, weigh us down. Because this blackness is what's going to come between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. So therefore, from the most important steps we need to be taking before we come to Ramadan is to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to sit quietly by yourself sometime between now and Ramadan. Even if you can do it more than once. You know, sit down, reflect over your past. Reflect over your past. How many times have you fallen into the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal? How many times have you looked at something that's not allowed for you to look at? How many times do you sit and listen to conversations which were haram for you to listen to? Now we're all on social media. How many sins do we get from social media? People backbiting, people slandering, and we involve ourselves in those conversations. There's so many sins that we involve ourselves in and day out. And then there's the times when we get together with other sisters and we gossip and we backbite. So we have to be thinking about all of these different sins we've fallen into and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us, inshallah, for all of these sins. You know, think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us in the Quran to make tawbah to Him, where He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say to my servants who have greatly wronged themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah forgives all of the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily He is the most merciful and most forgiving. So when you think about how Allah Ta'ala is calling you in the Quran, calling you to, you know, release the burdens from your heart, release the sins from your heart, and turn back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with sincerity. Try to make yourself cry, try to break yourself down, and ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for His forgiveness before you enter Ramadan, so that inshallah you reach Ramadan purified, so that bi-idhnillah, Allah opens the best doors of khair to you in this month, inshallah. And besides that, my dearest sisters, besides making specific tawbah, also try as much as you can to say a lot of istighfar between now and Ramadan. So astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Try to get yourself in the habit of repeating this as much as you can throughout the day, throughout the night, whenever you think about it. When you're driving your kids, when you're cooking, whatever, yani, whatever you're doing, sitting at a doctor's, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Our tongues are heavy, my dearest sisters. We are in a state of ghafla. We're in a state of heedlessness. All year we're busy with the dunya, and very little do we think about Allah and the Akhirah. So this is the time of the year where we need to get, you know, come back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and start reminding our hearts and reviving our hearts with the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and with istighfar, asking Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala for forgiveness. Also, from the ways to purify yourself, inshallah, as well, before Ramadan comes, is to give sadaqah. Give charity as much as you can. This also helps to purify your heart, bi-idhnillah. Besides this, my dearest sisters, the other thing we have to pay attention to is many of us are carrying around bad feelings towards others in our hearts. Many of us are holding bad feelings in our hearts. We have hatred in our hearts. We have jealousy in our hearts. We have bad feelings towards others in our hearts, subhanAllah. And we need to realize that these bad feelings, my dearest sisters, they will weigh you down. They stop you from moving forward. They stop you from focusing on improving yourself and getting close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we need to let go of these feelings as much as we can. We need to let go. It's not about forgiving for the sake of the person. Maybe someone really oppressed you. It's about forgiving for the sake of your own soul. Because all it does is just burns you. It weighs you down. It stops you from getting close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So ask Allah to free you from these bad feelings. Ask Allah to free you from having these bad feelings and move on. There's no point, yani, nothing. It's just you're like a prisoner. Otherwise, you're like a prisoner to your feelings and you can never break out of it. And the other thing too, of course, is to ask yourself, have you wronged anybody yourself? Have you wronged anybody that you need to ask them for forgiveness? Because it helps to make that reconciliation before Ramadan, so that you enter Ramadan not feeling that guilt that you've hurt someone in any way. So make amends as much as you can before Ramadan comes. All of these things will help you to really focus on getting close to Allah in this month and to really feel the sweetness of being close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in this month, inshallah. And some of the ways to overcome bad feelings, my dearest sisters, is making dua for that person. Making dua, as hard as that is, but if you can make dua for that person, that's part of the healing process. And then besides that, as I said, ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to help you, because it's very hard to do things on our own, but with the help of Allah, everything is possible. Besides this, the second point I'm going to come to now is that it's important that all of us sit down and have what we can call an honest accountability session with ourselves before Ramadan comes. What do I mean by that? I mean to call oneself to account now before we're held to account in the Akhirah. Because let me say this, if we're not calling ourselves to account now, before Ramadan comes, then until when will you ever sit and call yourself to account? The next thing you know, we'll be standing before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and He'll be calling to us to account for everything we've done. So that's why we need to call ourselves to account before Ramadan comes. Because all year we're busy with the dunya. We never take time out to do these things. Let's be realistic. How often do we sit and really think about the way we're going in our lives and question, are we really moving forward in our lives, or are we slowly shifting backwards? So we need to have a good look at our life. an honest look at ourselves. Are we improving in our deen? Are we getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we moving forward, even if it's baby steps? Or are we slowly drifting away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life? This is what we have to look at within ourselves. And then besides that, my dearest sisters, is to ask yourself, what goals do you need to set for yourself, your personal goals that you want to set for yourself for Ramadan, so that you can move forward and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the future? You know, we've all got certain sins or certain bad habits that we keep on falling into. So we need to ask ourselves, what can I do, Yani? What is something I'd like to focus on this Ramadan? Because we know that in Ramadan, we've got the greatest chance to change those bad habits and to get away from those sins. Because like we said, this is the month when the doors of Jannah are opened, the doors of Rahmah are opened, and the devils are chained, and the doors of the hellfire are closed. So it's much easier for a person to stay away from their old sins and to change their bad habits. So for example, if you've got a consistent sin of backbiting, ask yourself, how are you going to go about changing that sin? You want to get rid of that. That's something you want to try to really, you know, get out of your life. Or maybe you're addicted to music. Or maybe you're addicted to smoking. Or wasting time. Wasting time is a big thing for a lot of people now. They hardly do anything for striving for the Akhirah. Most of the time they spend on social media, playing games, wasting their time doing nothing productive, whether for this dunya nor for the Akhirah. So we've got to think about, how can we make these changes that we need to make? Missing prayers also is a big one for a lot of people. Missing Fajr, not waking up on time for Fajr, not praying our prayers on time, missing prayers and praying them after their times. So think about, what is the main sin that you need to be focusing on that you want to change for yourself this Ramadan? And my advice is, you start trying to change yourself now before Ramadan comes. Not wait till Ramadan comes. Because like I said, if you want to be on a certain level when you get to Ramadan, you need to start from now. The athlete does not come to the race and he hasn't done some training for it. Okay, so start from now. Try to implement those good habits so that inshallah, by the time Ramadan comes, you're already praying Fajr on time every single day. You're praying all your five prayers every single day on time. Yani, try to keep your tongue with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're in gatherings so that you don't fall into backbiting. Try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more now than you used to do before. Practice from now so that inshallah, when Ramadan comes, you have the best Ramadan, bi-ibnillah. Besides trying to eliminate these bad habits and sins from our life, we also want to look at how we can adopt some new good habits into our routine as well, because we want to be constantly improving. As a believer, we want to be constantly trying to improve each year so that when I look back on last Ramadan, I can see I've taken some baby steps forwards towards Allah, that I've improved a little bit than last year. I'm doing some things that I wasn't doing last year, for example. So for example, think about what you can start to practice within your routine, like duha prayers. When you wake up in the morning, after, like maybe you've prayed Fajr and you go back to sleep for a while, and then you wake up after the sun has risen and you pray just even two rakat, rakatain, or four rakat, two by two. And this prayer is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a prayer of shukr. It's a prayer of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every joint and bone in your body. Subhanallah. So try to implement this prayer, because you start your day on shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start your day upon thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the very beginning. You know, and then besides that, adhkar, doing our adhkar, our du'as of the morning and the evenings. Try to make ourselves more consistent with these du'as. When we wake up, trying to say at least some of these du'as, especially after your Fajr prayer, if you can sit for a while and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after Asr as well. Whether even if you're driving, to say the adhkar, to say the du'as while you're driving, or even after Maghrib if you missed saying it after Asr. You know, try to make yourself in the habit of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can, inshallah. And another thing we should also look at as well is our character. Okay, our akhlaq. there may be some improvements we need to make. None of us are perfect. We need to be constantly trying to improve our akhlaq, inshallah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, have a look at ourselves. Do we need to start? Are we starting to lose our temper more? Could we improve with our anger? You know, could we improve? Like, do we fall into swearing? Things like that. Yani, look at the different ways that you can improve yourself. Because, you know, you got to realize that Ramadan, my dearest sisters, the reward for it is not the same for everybody. There are different levels of fasting in Ramadan. And the highest levels are for those people who are able to, you know, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ihsan, where they're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of their actions and in everything they say and do. So therefore, you can imagine their manners is of the highest caliber, inshallah. So they're able to contain their anger. They don't, you know, ruin their fast. Not that you won't get through, not that you won't get your fast accepted, but, you know, it decreases the reward. To lose your temper in Ramadan decreases from your reward. See, so we wanna aim for the highest levels, inshallah, for our fasting, bi'idhnillah. So how are we gonna do that if we're not practicing from now? Because you know when you fast, what happens to you? You feel hungry, you feel a bit edgy, it makes you maybe scream or something because you're more edgy, you know, you might get more, you're more angry, you know, subhanAllah. So if you're not practicing from now, how to become a more calm person, you know, trying to be more patient, inshallah, then it's going to be even harder for us when Ramadan comes. So these are some things that we can focus on, bi'idhnillah, before Ramadan comes. Okay, another thing that we should also try to focus on, inshallah, is try to increase your deeds. Like I was already mentioning that a little bit, but this should be a focus for us. Trying to increase your deeds so that yani, when you come to Ramadan, you're already on a higher level than you are now. Okay, so trying to implement new things into your routine. Now what I mean by that is, for example, when you think of Ramadan, you want to be reading a certain amount of Quran every single day, right? So therefore, you should be trying to slot that into your program now. Because if you're not able to slot it into your program now, how are you going to do it when Ramadan comes? It's more of a rush in Ramadan than it is now. So that's why you should be thinking from now, when am I going to slot the Quran in, and start practicing that from now. Taking that time out, even just 20 minutes or half an hour of your day. Best time is going to be after Fajr. But you know, make that your Quran time. Or maybe it's after you've dropped the kids off to school. That's your Quran time as soon as you walk in the door. Do it first so that it's done for the day. Besides that, you know, we've got the 12 rawatib prayers. Okay, these are the prayers that the Prophet ﷺ told us, that whoever prays these 12 prayers in a day and night, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for them a house in al-Jannah. So what are these 12 prayers? The two sunan that come before al-Fajr prayer, the four raka'at, like two by two before Dhuhr, and two after Dhuhr, and two after al-Maghrib, and two after al-Isha. So try to be in a habit of praying these 12 prayers from now, so that inshallah when Ramadan comes, it's already established habit with you. You see, this by doing this, you're already reaching a higher level before Ramadan comes, rather than waiting for the first day of Ramadan and trying to implement everything in one go. Most people, when they do that, what happens is they get to the first week and they're not used to all these things, so everything starts falling apart for them. You see? So start from now. That's what I'm saying. And the other thing is too, that when you're not used to reciting Quran much, when you're not used to doing a lot of dhikr of Allah, you'll see your tongue is quite heavy. It's hard for you. Why? Because you're not used to it. But the more you persevere for the sake of Allah, you'll find it becomes easy. So it becomes like second nature. And you know, you've seen a lot of those people who pass away. It's amazing. When you see those people who pass away and you go close to them, and what can you hear them? You can hear them reciting Quran, or you can hear them saying, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. How are they able to do that, my dearest sisters? Because they got their tongues accustomed to doing that while they were healthy. So we need to get our tongues accustomed to that. If we want to have husnul khatima, if we want to have the good ending when we meet with Allah, we need to be trying to implement these things from now. Not hope that, oh, we're going to have a beautiful death. Allah's just going to suddenly give us this beautiful death of remembering Him when we die. Okay? Besides that, try to even pray Qiyam al-Layl. Try to pray the night prayer. Even if you, it's allowed, I just want to mention, it's allowed to pray the night prayer before you go to sleep. So for example, maybe you've already prayed your sunnah of Isha and you've prayed your witr, but then you start to say 12 o'clock or something, and then you think to yourself, you know what, I just want to pray 2 rak'ah before I go to sleep. It's allowed. It's allowed to pray rak'atain before you sleep, or to pray with the intention of Qiyam al-Layl before you sleep. Qiyam al-Layl does not have to be in the last third of the night. Okay, it's all throughout the night. Okay? So if we look at what Ibn Rajab rahimahullah said, he said that, just to understand what is Sha'ban. He said Sha'ban is like an introduction to Ramadan. That's what Sha'ban is. Sha'ban is like an introduction to Ramadan. That's why it's legislated to fast and recite Quran in Sha'ban, just as it is to do that in Ramadan. Why? He said, in order to prepare oneself for the coming of Ramadan, so that a person's soul will be disciplined upon ta'atillah. So that your soul, your nafs is already disciplined upon the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Sha'ban. So that by the time you come to come Ramadan, it's second nature. And he also said that fasting in Sha'ban is like a practice for the fasting of Ramadan. That's why if anyone's here is new to Islam, if some of you recently reverted to Islam, or you're not used to fasting, it's very advised for you to fast some days in Sha'ban to get yourself used to fasting for Ramadan. So that's why Ibn Rajab, he says fasting in Sha'ban is like a practice for the fasting of Ramadan, so that a person won't feel any hardship once they enter the fasting of Ramadan. Rather, they've already practiced fasting and they got used to it, and so therefore they experience the joy and the sweetness of fasting Ramadan, rather than you're struggling the first few days of Ramadan. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind, inshallah. And then we come to the fourth point that I want to mention today of how to prepare ourselves, inshallah, for Ramadan. And that's more focused now on psychologically preparing yourself for Ramadan. Like, how do you make yourself feel excited for Ramadan? Sometimes you might find everybody around you is so excited for Ramadan, and you're saying to yourself, why don't I feel that same feeling? Why aren't I feeling that same feeling of feeling excited about Ramadan coming, you know? So I've got some tips, inshallah, on how to make yourself get into that mode. One of them is to think about spring cleaning your house. A lot of people spring clean their house for Eid, and they waste a lot of time the last 10 days of Ramadan spring cleaning their house. If I was going to give anyone advice, I would tell them, try to clean your house before Ramadan comes. Because you know why? When the first day of Ramadan comes, you find your house all beautiful and clean. You just sit down, you start reciting your Quran, and you feel like there's nothing behind you. It's the best. So that's why I really advise everybody, if you want to get that real feeling of Ramadan from the beginning, try to spring clean your house and make yourself organized. And not only that, it helps you to save time during Ramadan. If you've already done a very good spring clean, you won't need to spend so much time before Eid comes. Another thing is, you should try to plan any appointments that you have, try to get them out of the way before Ramadan comes. If you've got something that's going to be due in Ramadan, like maybe an assignment, something like that, try to get it out of the way, or at least get most of it done as much as you can. Like, put a lot of effort in the next couple of weeks to try to get as much of it done, so that you're not burning up your time in Ramadan. There's nothing worse than being in Ramadan and having this huge assignment you've got to do, and you can't even enjoy Ramadan because you're so busy trying to struggle through this assignment, or, you know, something that you've got to do. All right, so appointments, assignments, anything like that, try to get them out of the way as much as you can. The other advice I have is try to choose good company for yourself. Like, if you don't have friends that are really motivated towards Ramadan and preparing themselves and, you know, excited about Ramadan, you need to try to find people who are, okay? Because that motivation, that energy, it goes on you. You know, subhanAllah, you share the enthusiasm when you're around people who are motivated. You know, as the psychologists say, you are basically the summary of your closest five associates. Like those five people you are around the most, they are basically, you could basically sum yourself up by those five people. So if those five people who are mostly in your life are not the type to be motivated and, you know, excited about Ramadan coming, then that's why you need to look at how you can get yourself in a better environment to, inshallah, get that feeling, inshallah. And then included in that as well, my dearest sisters, is to look for environments that give you that motivation. Like, alhamdulillah, you came to the lesson today. That's a great step forward. You know, you've come to a lesson, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you'll feel greatly motivated after you leave this lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But, you know, besides that, try to listen to lectures. You know, really try to rev yourself up, ready for Ramadan, inshallah. Another thing is, if you've got outstanding fasts, you know, get them out of the way. Sha'ban, we know that many times Aisha radiallahu anha, she wasn't able to fast until Sha'ban. But we need to get our fasts out of the way, inshallah. Again, it's like a debt we owe to Allah. So we want to get them out of our way as well. And that's another way of preparing ourselves, inshallah. Another advice I have is, try to memorize some new surahs from the Quran to recite in your prayers. You cannot imagine the sweetness, my dearest sisters, of when you've recited certain surah of the Quran and then you come to Ramadan and you're standing before Allah and you're reciting this new surah. It's the best feeling. You feel the sweetness. Those people who every single time they pray, they only recite, for example, Surah Al-Ikhlas. Every single time they recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, and then they wonder, why don't I feel halawa when I pray to Allah? Why don't I feel the sweetness when I pray to Allah? Because you don't change your surahs. You don't make it colorful. You don't make your prayer colorful to yourself, subhanAllah. So one of the best ways to really feel khushu', inshallah, in Ramadan is by memorizing new surahs from the Quran and then feeling that sweetness of reciting that new surah that you've added to yourself, inshallah. Besides this, the best way to prepare for Ramadan is to make a personal daily plan for how you're going to spend every day of Ramadan. Now, my advice here is don't make your schedule too tight or too difficult for yourself. We've all got different situations. Those of you who've got many children are not going to be able to do the same as somebody who has got no children. Their children have grown up. Okay, so everybody's got different abilities here. So make your plan for yourself. Don't compare to anybody else. Make it flexible and make it something that's easy for you to achieve, that you know that you're going to be able to stay on it and not feel guilty when you're not able to achieve it. Don't make it so high that you're not able to achieve, right? And as I said to you, inshallah, on the 6th of May at Al-Azhar Masjid in Belmore, I'll be giving the specific details, inshallah, on how we can make a plan for ourselves for Ramadan. But just for now, let's just say, I want you to think about, where are you planning to pray Tarawih this year? Are you going to pray it at home? Or are you going to go to a masjid to pray it? Where are you going to pray your Tarawih? Have a good think about that. You know, when are you going to slot in your time to read Quran every single day? When's your best time for you? Is it before you go to sleep at night? Is it after Fajr? Is it after you drop your children off to school? So you've got to ask yourself that question and work out how you're going to timetable in your own, you know, personal plan for Ramadan, inshallah. Besides all of this, my dearest sisters, finally, if we want to be successful in Ramadan, we need to constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to give us success. We cannot just rely on our own efforts. You can go and buy as many Ramadan journals as you want. You can go and do the best plan for Ramadan, but ultimately nobody will be successful without the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why try to say the dua, which I'll give to you after if you need it. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me to remember you and to thank you and to have the best worship of you, Ya Allah. Keep on saying this dua. Say it. It's the sunnah to say it after every fard prayer. But say it in your sajda. Say it in your prostration. Say it before your taslim. Say it during the day. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to remember Him and to mention him and to thank him and to worship him in the most beautiful way that he deserves, tabarak wa ta'ala. Finally, my dearest sisters, we have to be honest with ourselves and realize that only Allah knows how many more Ramadans we have left in our lives to fast. Think about how many people were fasting with us last year and they're no longer with us today. How many people were healthy and fasting with us this year and now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us and give them shifa, they can no longer fast this Ramadan. So we have to realize that we should never, ever waste this blessing that Allah has given us. Never take this blessing of Ramadan for granted. You know, and don't stop asking Allah to help you to reach Ramadan safely as well. We already saw that brother, Allah irhamu, a healthy brother, what is in his 30s, went to Umrah and just like that, he passed away. Allah irhamu, accept him inshallah. He didn't think that he's going to pass away, but he did. SubhanAllah, he didn't reach Ramadan. We don't know when our time is coming, my dearest sisters. And so that's why if Allah blesses us to reach one more Ramadan, we should never waste this blessing and take it for granted. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimallah, he said, if it was said to those in their graves, wish. If it was said to those in their graves, wish. They would wish to come back just for one more day of Ramadan. SubhanAllah. That's what you don't realize. And we take it for granted. But those in their graves would wish to come back just to fast one more day for Allah. Just to stand in Taraweeh one more day for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dearest sisters. Just to have the opportunity to raise their hands to Allah and ask Him for forgiveness and make tawbah to Him for their sins before they meet with Allah azza wa jal in the next life. I ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to gather us all in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la with the prophets, with the Siddiqeen, with the Shuhada and the Saliheen. I ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala to accept our fasting, to accept our prayers. I ask Him to help us to remember Him throughout the days and throughout the nights, not to stop remembering Him at all times and all places. I ask Allah to fill our hearts with the light of the Quran, to fill our homes with the light of the Quran, and fill our children's hearts with the love for the Quran. May we always be close to Allah, my dearest sisters. I ask Allah not to deprive us from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life and meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask Allah to gather us all under the throne, under the shade of the throne on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and to gather us all in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ وَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.